Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and every month I have Mary Abreu on of The Craft Addict and Confessions of a Craft Addict, and she and I will be talking about some topic in more in-depth, like usually just one topic, maybe two. So Mary is an author, she's an accomplished seamstress, and she works at a quilt shop. Yay, the perfect job. Yay. Mary, you have the perfect job.
I do. I really do. I'm lucky. You know, not only do I work at a quilt shop, I work at my best friend's quilt shop. So, pretty awesome.
Even better. Okay, so I thought that we would talk about buying a new sewing machine because many of us need to do that at some point. And I'm not really just talking about like a beginner one. Like, we need to upgrade. Can you even remember how many machines you've owned?
No. And I don't know that I want that number out there in the public anyway, because, you know, accountability and judgment, that's not a good thing.
Yes, I know. You know, at certain points, we find that maybe we started doing something new and we want to have a new feature on the machine, or it might be, you know, you're using the same machine that your parents gave you when you graduated from college, which was what I had for a long time. And so, you know, you just find that, you know, you need to get some new features because new machines have better features. I mean, that's what I find.
They really do. We're very fortunate that there's such a demand for sewing machines, and that the demand sort of fuels the kind of features that are added to them as people who are sewing go, it would be really nice if this would cut its own thread.
Right.
You know, and
I love that.
Lo and behold, you can get machines that do that.
Yeah, yeah. I have one with a laser on it. I use a Baby Lock Crescendo, and I have a laser light. That.
Can I come over and sew on your machine? That
yeah.
sounds so cool.
So cool. So what, you know, you looked for a machine a few years ago now, right?
Yes, it took me about 3 years before I finally decided what I wanted. And I bought it about a year ago. It's been about a year. I've had my Tukey, and I'm really happy with it. And for me, it was that I knew that I needed more harp or throat space, so that space to the right of the needle between the needle and the body of the sewing machine. And not just for quilts, but I do a lot of corsetry and a lot of like historical costuming where there's a lot of fabric, sometimes with metal bones in it. And it's really, if you think a king-size quilt is hard to to roll up in that space, metal boning will completely change your opinion on how small and unwielding some things can be. And I really wanted that. And it took me a while. I wasn't in a hurry. I had the advantage that I had a perfectly good machine mm-hmm. that did what I needed it to do. So I didn't have to hurry up and replace it and make a decision. So I could really think about what I wanted out of it, which is always a good thing. If you're not having to replace a machine that's broken,
yeah,
you have the time to really think about and research and ask the people that you know who have machines and talk to dealers and try them out, because it's really the best way to find out what works for you and what suits you.
So do you have machines in the shop where you work? Do you also sell machines?
No. I encounter a lot of machines through the classes that I teach at the shop, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which is good because you get to see a lot of things in action and see how easy they are to deal with on the fly and how easy it is to thread and things like that. But no, we don't actually carry machines, which is, you know, probably a good thing, bad thing sort of scenario for me.
Yeah, it's a whole nother business carrying machines. So let's give people some guidelines, because I want to have them sort of like a check sheet. They should make a check. I think people should make a check sheet for themselves.
Yeah.
But what are some of the top things that you have to think about so that you know what to look for?
Some of it is, do you want a machine that the accessories that you already own will be compatible with? So if you've invested a lot of money in a variety of presser feet mm-hmm. and extension tables and things like that, do you really want to buy all of those things all over again?
Yeah.
So it is something that you may want to think about. If you tend to do a lot of different types of stitches and you use a variety of materials where you would have need for different presser feet, it's not going to be the same for everybody, obviously. But, you know, do you need a machine that's going to be portable? Do you do a lot of retreats and a lot of classes? So do you really want a machine that you can grab and go? Mm-hmm. You know, that can make a big difference, too. If you don't want to have to lift, you know, 30 pounds of machine out of your car, even in a rolling case,
right.
It's something you do want to think about. And
that's
and
the
budget.
Second machine. You get the second machine to take on travel.
I know. I'm a big fan of multiple machines.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. It does work out really. And that's part of the reason it took me so long to get my machine is that I knew what features that I wanted, but I didn't want a lot of other things that I didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up getting a straight stitch only machine that I use in addition to my previous machine that does all the apparel stitches that I need. And then that worked out really well. That was really just a great option for me.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think people should look at is if they want to quilt their own quilt, you already mentioned the harp space or the throat space, which is, you know, how you shove that big quilt in the little hole. You know, how big is that? Because they can be from 6 to 12. Or what's your jukies? How wide is that one?
I think the jukie is around 10. It's pretty, it's pretty generous. So it's...
Yeah. There's space there. But the other thing that I find is that some feet, your brain just works better with how the feet go on and off the machines. You know, you might find that a particular brand, you could easily change the feet, where another brand, it feels awkward just because of how your work style is. So if you're, you know, I think that that's important to look at because you might go look at a machine and not think about that. And all of a sudden you get it home and you just are annoyed that you've now, you know, have to relearn or rethink. Because walking foot in particular, walking foot is a big bulky unit and they have, you know, everybody has a different way of getting that foot on the machine. And if you use it a lot, you don't want to struggle.
Exactly. And that's one of the things with my jukies, it's a high shank foot. Versus a low shank. So with my low shank, my previous Janome, the low shank foot, I have a lot of snap-on feet. So changing presser feet is nothing. But with the Juki, I have to screw on and screw off every single time. You know, and it works for me because I don't, you know, I have to change. I use fewer feet on it, but for other people, that could be a real thing difference. And it's also a top-loading bobbin versus a side-loading or front-loading bobbin. That's a big difference for a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you're used to a top-loading bobbin, having a separate bobbin case that you're putting a bobbin into can be a challenge. For one thing, for me, it's another part that I could potentially lose because I lose everything at least once. Quite frankly, it's really, really sad. But I'm single-handedly keeping many, many people in business. So.
Well, the other thing, too, is that when you have a top loading, you can see it. It's right there. And I've had both machines, and I don't mind either one personally because I've used both. But when they're underneath, if you have a table that you're in, now it becomes more awkward to change it depending on how it sits in your table if it's underneath. You know, it's something to really analyze if that's going to work for you and what you're going to put it in. Now let's talk about, you got a list now, Mary. So they, you know, list all the kind of things. But another thing that you mentioned to me when we were talking prior was figuring out what type of work you actually do.
That is such a key part to all of this is when you look at what you're doing, and a lot of times when people will ask me for buying a first machine, I always say that's less important than sewing on a machine and figuring out what you're making, because it's going to dictate what needs you have. If you're mostly sewing quilts and doing a lot of your own quilting, that's a completely different type of machine than someone who's doing a lot of apparel sewing or someone who's doing a real mix of things. My Juki is great, but it doesn't have a free arm, which means that it's not really great for doing a lot of apparel things or a lot of small projects where I might have to sew in the round. But it does a lot of other things really great, and I love the space to work in when I'm dealing with a quilt because there's just so much more room for that. So if you are doing a real mix of projects, you really need to kind of look at what those things require. Do you need a free arm? Do you need a place to store extra feet? Do you need a needle up, down? I know that's a feature that you have very specific needs that you want for that, not just a placeholder, you said, but
right.
Those types of things all make a difference. You know, if you don't need a machine that has built-in embroidery stitches, you can find machines that have the stitches that you want. You know, if you do a lot of applique and you want that a really nice blanket stitch, and a blanket stitch that works around curves really well or has specialty feet that work with that, those things kind of help you hone in on what features you need and what machines are available for you.
Yay! All this really, really good stuff. Now, I think people will make a good list from this. They can come back and listen again. And Mary, I want you to tell me about a project you just did before we finish this segment, because you are like a rock star now, Mary.
Oh my gosh, you flatter me, Pat. I have some friends who work on a television show that is filmed locally. They used to film in North Carolina. They moved production to Georgia last year, and it airs on Fox on Fridays. It's called Sleepy Hollow. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited when I saw that they moved here, because it's a show I enjoy watching, but the costumes are great because there's a lot of historical costuming in it, which is something that I have a real love for. So they needed some help sewing for an upcoming episode, and so back in February I got to go and sew in their tailor shop for a day and make a waistcoat that was actually on their Monster of the Week, the Eternal Soldier, who was in the episode that aired this past Friday, which you can see online or on demand and things like that. So it was really kind of fun. Very interesting to see it actually come together with all of the pieces, because after I sewed it, it was all nice and pretty, and then it went directly to the distressor, who did an amazing job just completely trashing it to make it look like it had been hundreds of years old and worn by an immortal creature that would eventually be vanquished.
I know. It's just, that's the whole thing. It's like somebody had mentioned when we were talking about it that there's actually a distressor. Who knew that there was somebody that then beat up your beautiful garment that you just made?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. It's like I love sewing things and making them pretty, and then when you take a picture of it and you go, yeah, that's never going to look like that again. It's going to be dyed, and you go in and you see this distressor room where they have just this hodgepodge of things to make everything look old or burnt or beat up. And they do actually sometimes set things on fire, which is kind of interesting and a little fun. But I can't do that to my own work, so I'm glad that there's somebody who can.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I invite people to email me or email Mary about a topic that you'd like to hear. So thank you, Mary, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Join the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge in March for the ultimate pillowcase competition. Gather a team and compete with other shops and groups during the month of March to make pillowcases, earn points, and be crowned the ultimate pillowcase champion. The group with the most points at the end of the competition will be awarded $1,000 cash and a visit from an editor for a talk and trunk show. Or just watch the action with weekly voting and daily prizes. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/pillowcase madness for more information and to sign up to participate.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, executive editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or many more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcase. Quilt along with us in 2016. Join our third annual quilt along by making a quilt, a one-block pillow, or all four projects featuring plus sign designs. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/quiltalong for a list of participating bloggers and designers, and to see photos of what staff members and other readers are sewing. Share your photos on social media using the hashtag APQQuiltAlong to join the fun.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags,
baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm really, really excited to have Carrie Nelson of Miss Rosie's Quilt Company here. She's talked to me a couple other times, and we thought we'd get together and talk a little bit about fabric selecting, since we both work in the business and do that maybe a little differently for some projects and how fun that is. So, hi, Carrie. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, when we started talking about, you know, what can we talk about? You said, well, why don't we talk about how we have to use fabrics? Because you also work for Moda now. And, you know, Part of your job for all these years with your pattern company and the same with me is that we use lines of fabric, a collection. And I thought that was really fun because people do that for their hobby, make a collection, but those of us who design, it's sort of mandatory, right?
It is. Both for doing it for a quilt, because obviously you want to be able to kind of interpret the vision of the designer and give somebody an idea for a project that maybe they want to make. He uses as much fabric as possible, of course.
Right. That's right. We have to use up the fabric. So when you're looking at a collection and you need to design something to showcase it, what kind of a process do you use to do that? Do you do like mock-ups or?
This is going to sound kind of scary. I start doing it in my head. Sometimes there will be some things that start making the notes on paper, but so much of it is really thinking about what is the style of that designer? What is the style of their fabric? You get collections that are very, very whimsical. And so to me, doing a really, really formal quilt using something that has just silly little designs and it is a little looser, I guess is what I would say. Also is the scale of the print. If it's a lot of big and medium scale prints, you're going to really be changing the character of that if you use a lot of small pieces. And conversely, if it's a collection of like 30s reproductions or little ditzy prints, you kind of lose some of the sweetness of that if you put it in big 8-inch squares. So sometimes it's you start with the fabric and what has the designer tried to. What is their voice? What are they trying to say with this? So that's usually where I start.
Yeah, and I think that when people buy like a fat quarter bundle, you know, that's always what I hear. You know, what do I make with this? I love it. But one of the things I've noticed over all these years of doing this, because I did it prior to my own fabric lines and I do it with my own fabric lines, is that they don't always all need to go in the same quilt. You know, that some.
Well, no, I agree with you completely. That's what I'm saying is I agree completely.
Because I think people think, oh, all these fabrics are going to go in the same quilt. But most many collections are done in what might be split into two colorways in there. And they're not really meant to always go in the same quilt.
And of course, it's always fun to have leftovers that you can use in other projects. But you're right, because sometimes taking just a part of a collection gives you a very different feel. And one of the examples can use is some of Joanna Figueroa's collections, Fig Tree. A lot of hers that come out in the fall, there is a red and green component. The boy, you pull those out, and right there, you've got your color palette for a Christmas quilt. And she's been doing some using, you know, her signature pumpkin color that now she's adding black to that. And there you go. Here's your color palette for something more Halloween and fall-like. So one fat quarter bundle, two completely different projects that can get you going in different directions. So
I agree with you completely. They can go into different things very easily.
Yeah, I think that's the fun of it, is to look at the collection and say, you know, what's really going on here, and like sort of curate them into really pleasing selections. Now,
curate, that's the best word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You that, just have to make, you know, make new piles.
and of course, as quilters, we never do that.
Right. Now, the one thing that you've been doing, Carrie, is showcasing collections that are being mixed, that you're pulling, you're showing people how to take something from Joanna's work and my work and, you know, maybe from Lisa Bonge's work and put it all together just by not necessarily in a quilt. You're showing it with the fabric. Tell me what you're doing with that.
A lot of it for me is just to show that you can have very, very different ideas of what designers are and what they do, and yet there are common elements, that it doesn't always have to be the same red, the same scale, the same style. And it's just fun to get that variety. I always think back to Barbara Brackman, who would talk about, you know, it's the spark in there, something that's different. When you look at old scrap quilts, there are so many things in there that they didn't have coordinated color palettes and coordinated collections. And truthfully, the interest in them is that weird, quirky fabric that you think, that color doesn't go in there, but it does. And because if it really, truly didn't, there's a really good chance the quilt maker would have made a smaller quilt. she just would have found something else. So it's that difference, that little spark. And sometimes it's just saying, I put this in here because I liked it and I wanted to do it this way. Right. And it's the mood at that moment.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to pull apart those fat quarter bundles and layer cakes and stuff and mix them all up. Now, I want to switch gears. I want to switch gears and talk about mood boards, because I said to you, is anybody doing mood boards anymore, or just like bulletin boards of ideas, idea boards? And you do them.
I do.
Yeah.
You probably can, but I can't remember everything. And so sometimes there is an image or just a little stack of fabric that I love the way it looks that just came about through happenstance. And so sometimes I'll just pin it together and stick it on my board as a color palette I really liked, or sometimes just because it's pretty, I don't know that I'll ever use it. We all have drawers full of pins and cards and just little things that we picked up somewhere. Well, you can put them in a drawer, and then they're always in the way when you're looking for the scissors and extra bobbin. And so it's fun to just put some of that on the inspiration board, just because it's pretty and it's a way of inspiring you and just makes you happy when you look at it. You see something funny. I mean, big surprise, I have quotes on mine.
Oh, that is a surprise. Yes, I saw the one you showed me. You have buttons, too. I like that. You had like a card of, look like old buttons.
I have a card. Well, actually, that one, a lot of fun. Instagram is evil. From the sense of all these new shopping opportunities, I saw a lovely woman who makes needle minders where she covers buttons with fabric and it gets a magnet glued to the back and then another magnet stuck to it, that if you're doing stitching, you can put one magnet on the other side of your fabric and put your little needle up there. And then, of course, it's also a magnet that's handy to pick up the needle when you drop it and are trying to find it. But, yeah, those were really cute. But I also have some of the buttons that have collected at market the last few years, and just fun, silly stuff of it's just going to wind up in the drawer if I don't put it on the board. So it's nice to have it out.
Do you clear it off every so often, or do you just sort of take little bits and parts off and replace them?
Both. It's usually not wholesale taking things off unless I really look at something and think, why do I still have that there? Mm-hmm. But a lot of it'll be in bits and pieces as I've added more things, and it is that evaluation of which inspires me the most, what do I really want to keep. And, you know, sometimes those things come off, and I admit there'll be pieces of paper that I will throw away. And sometimes those little buttons go in the drawer.
Yeah, right. Well, we have to freshen it up. I think we don't mm-hmm. see it anymore if it doesn't change. That's what I find, you know.
I agree, and it goes back to your word of curating it, mm-hmm. of that continual visual change of what is it that I'm finding interesting now. And that's why some things you still save and others, no. That was interesting then, and it doesn't hold the same appeal anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It could be something seasonal that, you know, you're like inspired mm-hmm. because it's spring, and so you have something springy. But by fall, you don't want to look at that anymore. Carrie, this mm-hmm. has been so much fun. You write at Moda's blog now.
I do.
People can come and visit you at blog.modafabrics.com and also on
yep.
Instagram. So
yes.
And Facebook.
Facebook and Instagram, yes, all of that. I'm hanging around. I'm lurking. I'm stalking. And I stalk you. You know I do.
I know. Thanks, Carrie.
Take care.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me for a fun video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Luck. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project with me. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for the price of one. That's a full year free. Every issue is packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, detailed photography, complete materials lists, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today at allpeoplequilt.com.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. It is always delightful to be able to catch up with Kimberly Jolly. She is not only the owner of the Fat Quarter Shop, which so many of us have spent some time on, but she also is a designer, and she does amazing videos that show you all kinds of techniques. Plus, I think that her work, her charity work, is just extraordinary, and I wanted to have Kimberly come on and talk to me for the second half the show, and we can sort of deep dive into some of the things that are going on out there that are fun and you want to be involved with. So hi, Kimberly.
Hi, how are you?
I am so good. This is really great. You are like a busy woman. We had to really figure out how to get you on here.
I know. I've got a lot going on, but thank you so much for having me.
You know, I wanted to ask, get a little bit of just a little backstory. You are a quilt maker, and, you know, I think that, you know, you've been quilting for quite a while. How did you find quilting? Was it in your family?
No, I crocheted when I was little, and I cross-stitched, and I always wanted to learn how to quilt. And one day, I was literally driving down the road, and there was a store, and it said, the quilt store. And so I stopped and just started taking classes, and then I was just completely hooked.
Oh, my gosh. So you didn't do it, like, you know, you didn't make a quilt for the kids first. It was just you. You'd always wanted to.
Yeah, it was way before I had kids. And so, you know, my first experience was not that great because they started the class with like this huge quilt and they made us hand quilt it and it just took way too long. And so then, you know, I had to figure out how to simplify things.
I know all of that. Learn, you know, to quilt 12 weeks all by hand cardboard templates thing, right?
Not doing that again.
No, it's too much. You know, you've been online with your shop for quite a few years now. Why did you start your store? You know, did you see something missing?
Yeah, I'm still this way. I've always been this way. I want to work within a collection, and I like fat quarter patterns. And every time I went to my local quilt store, they never ordered the bundles. And I couldn't find them online. And so I thought, well, gosh, you know, let me just start selling fat quarter bundles. And I had a corporate job at that time. I'm actually a CPA. And I just kind of started it on the side and never really, you know, there was no big business plan to get where it is today. But it kind of just took off because, you know, I think people want that. They want to be able to buy the whole collection or pieces of the collection, and they want to be able to, you know, get everything you need for a quilt. And every time I went in a store, you know, they would have like 10 bolts, which is great. But when you're working with fat quarter patterns, it doesn't really work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the whole, you just were, you know, hit it the right formula because we do. I know I do. I always want to see everything in the line. It's like, I want to be able to pick and choose, but I want to see it all. That's
Yeah.
So, you know, this, you are a huge, part of the online communities and have been, since I discovered you. You know, did you start when Twitter was big or did you start prior with like Yahoo groups and stuff online?
I started way before that. I started before Twitter was there, blogs, anything was around. And, you know, when I started, I remember that there was an Alex Anderson message board, but that was, you know, all that I really knew about at the time. And then, you know, started, I didn't do anything with the business on that. I guess they called it like a chat room type thing. And then blogs became popular probably about 4 years after we started. So then we started with blogs, Twitter, Facebook, all that. But, yeah, when we started, there was no social media. It was all word of mouth.
I know. I started with on Delphi boards, which were, you know, basically like chat rooms or something. You know, you just left messages. There was no pictures.
Right.
Yeah, like pictures changed the entire online community, didn't they?
Yep. And I think it's just, you know, keeping up with, you know, seems like every other week there's a new social media channel and just, you know, being able to connect. You know, it's true. It's like, oh, which one's dying? Which one's better? You know, how do we get to all our customers? So, yep.
And we all and it's fun, but it's also crazy because one thing will be exciting and everybody will be there, and then another thing comes in. I can remember when Twitter was so like you could just talk instantly with everybody. But then there were no pictures. We quilters have pictures.
Yeah.
So when you're out like doing your, your day-to-day job, I mean, you obviously are a business and you have, you know, staff and stuff, but you personally, what place do you like to look? Do you like to look at pictures like on Pinterest? Or are you like hanging out on Instagram?
I look at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So I look at Facebook throughout the day, and then at night when I go to bed, I look at Instagram, and I look at Twitter at night, too. I never really go to Pinterest. I know we use it for a business, but for me, it's just, I don't know, it's not as instantaneous, and so I don't want to have to click a lot of stuff. I just want to look. Puts me right to sleep. But, yeah, during the day, I don't really look at Instagram or anything. It's more of a nighttime make me fall asleep type of thing. But yeah, I love Facebook. I am on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, that's my big thing too, because that's where my big community is. And I know you run a lot of communities there for, when we talk about the charity projects, you have them for your different charity projects and your different sew-alongs, because I like being able to talk to somebody and answer back. You know, that's where
Yeah, and I like to post my blocks, you know, to show what blocks I've done. And then I also, I'm the admin, so I want to be able to add the people, you know, when they ask to be added.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm constantly doing that all day, too.
Yeah, and our phones, like, they're like little mini computers now, right?
It's like, oh, sometimes there's like crack. You got to just put it aside sometimes at night. I'm like, sometimes it's just like, enough, I can't take it. You know, it's hard. I physically, if I want to get off of it, I have to just put it on top of the fireplace and just say, okay, you can have that when your kids go to bed.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
I know. I have to turn off my email sometimes or just close the whole browser, you know, so that I'm not like, I just need to take a peek, go see what everybody's doing, see the new pictures.
Yes. Yes.
So what I want to do is tell people a little bit, thought we'd just talk about let's talk about the videos first, because we have, you know, we have plenty of time here, so we don't have to rush. So we thought we'd talk about the kind of videos that you're doing, because they're amazing. They're so much fun. You have projects, you have other types of things. What is sort of the I just lost my train of thought. How do you get them out there? I mean, is this like a big plan you have for this many, that many? Just tell me a little bit about them.
So we try to release a video every Wednesday and then either Monday or Friday. So we try to do two a week. We started out with our shortcut series, which is based on pre-cut friendly projects and really geared towards beginners, you know, something you can do on a weekend, you know, just 4-hour projects, something really small. And that's my favorite series just because they're great for gifts or, you know, you just need something really quick. But and you can easily make them larger or bigger. There's nothing complicated about them. They're just blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with that. We've also got our designer videos, which we've had Joanna Figueroa. She just recently came, and we've done lots of her videos. We had Aditya Sitar, me and my sister, Vanessa Gertzen. You know, lots of Moda designers have come in. And, you know, we like to do that because they totally bring a different perspective, because I quilt one way, but they quilt a completely different way. And so it's a way for our customers to learn something and for me to learn something that's, you know, totally outside of my box, so that we're covering more areas than just, you know, the Kimberly Jolly way to sew.
And well, so, I like that the one that you had with Joanna the other day, you were making a really easy little purse or tote.
Oh, yeah.
And tell me about that one.
So that's called the Kimberly Sack, and Joanne and I have always had a joke ever since we met, is that I need a new bag, because Kevin, when he goes to market, carries my bag, and so she's always said, you know, you need a manly bag, and I always tell her, I don't know how to make a bag. So she showed how to make a really simple bag, and so I really like it because it's very beginner, and it's meant for somebody who doesn't have a lot of bag experience, so that you can get in and actually make a bag. And once you make one, you feel like, oh, I can do that. And then you might venture out and make a little bit harder bag. And, you know, I think really with quilting and sewing, it's always the unknown. And once you can get past that unknown and you can actually attempt, you know, do something, then you're like, oh, I can do that, I can do that, you know. So that's kind of what the videos are, is to teach you how to do something so that you feel like you can do it at home.
Now, sometimes you have an associated printable, right, that they people, like, if they uh-huh. want to see it in writing, and how do they go about finding that?
So on our website, on our left link bar towards the bottom, there's a free pattern page. Okay. And on there we've got tons of free patterns. Some of the videos come with paid patterns, but a lot of them are free. Most of them, I would say, are free.
Right. Yeah. And you also, even if there is something that sort of upsizes, you know, you can buy a pattern that shows you things, how to take the single block and make it into multiple size quilts. And, you know, that's really, you know, wonderful, because you've done all the math.
Yeah. And those are our classic and vintage series. And we did that as a really low price pattern, so that mm-hmm. you know, if you just want to take that, you know, if you don't need the math, you know, the block is free. If you want help with the math, it's just a really low price pattern and, you know, it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah, I love that, because it is, sometimes you just don't want to think about it. You'd rather have somebody else figure out all the math.
Yeah, that's how I feel when I'm sewing, because, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time trying to figure anything out. I just want to do it.
Yeah. So do you have sewing a space at your home and at your work? I mean, does everybody sew at the office and then, you know, you also sew at home? Or do you kind of keep that at work?
I have a little small, like a small sewing room that I'm in right now at my house.
Yeah.
And it's pretty small. I don't know how small it is, but it's pretty small. Yeah. But I like it because it's my, you know, I do my emails, I watch TV, it's my little sewing room. I sew at work sometimes, you know, but mostly I just do it at home so that I can still enjoy it and all my stuff's in one place. But, you know, if we're going to test blocks, we definitely test at work.
Right, right.
But mostly yeah. just sew at home.
Yeah, I love that most people in the industry, you probably find this too, is that we all sew because we love it. You know, it's not yep. just our job. It's also our hobbies. What is the style of quilt, like your personal style, Kimberly, that's your favorite, like, type of fabrics to use, that kind of thing?
My favorite style of quilt is sampler or stars or, you know, something very classic and old looking. And then my colors, I tend to be towards Bonnie Camille colors or Lori Holt colors, you know, pinks, blues, reds. But I also, on the other hand, love like 1800s reproductions, like absolutely love those. So I think I like both just as much. I generally sew with the brighter stuff because my kids use it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's girly prints, they don't care. They'll yeah. still, you know, they just like the small quilt. So I do that more just because then my kids end up using them. But I love them both.
So you have a split personality for your family.
Yeah, definitely. Like the modern's not really my thing, but I definitely sew it from time to time, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm sewing something for a friend. So I like that, but, you know, only if it's for someone else.
Right. I know I was looking at one of the new books that's coming out you did with Betsy Chutchen. And
the
fabrics are so gorgeous. And one of them is that pink, and the quilt in there that has all that pink in it. It's like, yeah. oh, you know, I don't sew with that type of fabric right now. But that book, I'm like looking and thinking, oh, I need that pink. That's
it's like the perfect reproduction pink. It's just.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know, it's just something about that pink and that cheddar and her line that are just, they're just perfect.
Yeah. So
the way they came out.
We're going to take a break, Kimberly.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the charity work and talk a bit about the publishing, the books and things that you have. So if everybody will hang in there, we'll be right back after the break with American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Join American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, giveaways, and more. Find us at facebook.com/APQ magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. Our show is hosted or sponsored by Moda Fabrics, and I just wanted to give you a tip on something that's coming up. The Grunge Fabrics, it's a line at Moda, and I got a sort of an early tip that you can be looking for some new colors in the yellow and gray palette. Some sort of a beautiful little twist is what I hear. So that's coming up from Moda. So we're back with Kimberly Jolly from the Fat Quarter Shop. Kimberly, tell me, how many years have you been doing your charity series, charity quilt
series? This is our third year doing this, and it's just been amazing. All the quilters have been so generous with their, you know, time and money. We have people donating quilts to be auctioned and the money going to charity, and then also, you know, donating to the charities that we choose, and we're so grateful you know, to join along with our customers. and then Moda Fabrics and Fat Quarter Shop will match up to $10,000 to each charity each year. So it's been wonderful.
You know, the whole project, just the first year I followed along, but I didn't make anything. And then last year with the snapshots, I just thought that that was so I just wanted to be part of it because I've always made quilts for charity. Have you done it just on a personal basis?
Yeah, I've just done it. You know, what the way that I do is we make a lot of quilts in the you know, at Fat Quarter Shop, and sometimes our sample makers want to get paid. So I just keep a huge stack, and I have different local charities that will, you know, different friends of mine that are heads of different charities. And so each year, you know, when they ask for some, I'll just give three at a time to each charity. And they're just charities that are, you know, friends of mine are involved with.
Right, right.
More of a local presence. That's what we do there. But we really wanted to do something that we could work with our customers on.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's just so fulfilling to be able to be part of the community of this. Now, tell people how it works, because if they haven't really been following, they may not know how to get involved.
So this year's charity is called the Crossroads Quilt Along, and what we do is on the 15th of every month, we put a free pattern on our blog, which is the Jolly Jabber. And if you go to the Jolly Jabber on the ride, it'll say sew along, and then you can go to the Crossroads page. And we give a free pattern every month, and we just ask that you give, you know, if you can, give $5 for each pattern. And we have a link. This year's charity is March of Dimes. And then, you know, we hope to, last year with St. Jude, we actually raised like $40,000, which was amazing. And we're a little bit behind this year on March of Dimes. So we're hoping, you know, that by the end we can catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always, you know, it's a big, big process, because not only do you all do the patterns for free, which is amazingly generous, and then you promote it, but you then take, like, I sent the quilt last year and I'll send you one this year, and so you organize to put that up to have them auctioned at the end of the year. It's a big project. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, it is definitely months and months of work before it even launches, you know, because we try to be very detailed, our patterns, you know, full color. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a journey, but, you know, it's always for a great cause. And we really like that each year we're trying to make them all so different so that, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not interested in the charity this year, you might be interested next year. And, you know, we like how, especially on the Facebook page, I love how people are sewing not only with our kit, but with other fabrics. So we can really see, I love that community. So we can see, you know, what other people are doing and how their quilts look. And
the variety of fabrics, that's what's great about those groups,
yeah.
is that
yeah.
people will put different combinations. And so you do a group on Facebook for each of the different sew-alongs?
We do. So we have a Crossroads group this year. We had a Snapshot group the year before, and that group is still live, and people are still posting blogs. And we also have... I think those are the only two groups we have right now, are those two.
Right.
But so we have one for our designer mysteries. So each of our designer mysteries, we have a group for those. And so, and we even have one from, I think, 2012 that people are still posting in.
Oh. I know, they stay open forever. So you could just, you know, jump in. That's
Yeah. And, you know, people will say, oh, I just found this in my, you know, stash. And I'm thinking, yeah that sounds like me, you know, with a stash of fabric everywhere, hoping to get it done one day.
Yes. So the groups are really, really wonderful for that. And I know that you also and your staff, who are also all quilters, sew along on other projects. Like, you're sewing along with My Mystery. There's people sewing along with the Splendid Sampler. And you're one of our designers for the Splendid Sampler, which I'm so excited. I think your block is coming up very, very soon, Kimberly.
Yeah, I think it's April 10th. So that will be great. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm got a lot of people interested.
Oh, we've been doing so much fun stuff. We have challenges and different, you know, we've had one giveaway so far there. So it's been the Splendid Sampler. You'll be able to see Kimberly, hear her story behind her block, which I've seen. So I know it's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you are wear many hats, like I wear many hats. And so one of your, you know, hats is as not only a designer yourself, but you are also a publisher. So you've been doing some really fantastic quilt books and patterns. Tell me about that. Tell me about the So Emma and the books that you're doing.
Yeah, this is actually my very favorite part of the business, is the publishing side. And It's So Emma is named after my daughter Emma, who's now 8. And I think we started about 5 years ago, and she thinks it's quite hilarious. She says sometimes that she's famous because her picture's in Joanne's. And we just get a kick out of that, because she has no idea. You know, she doesn't even understand what we do. And I just think it's really cute to hear a little 7-year-old say that. But we've done 3 Fat Quarter books, which those are my favorite just because it's a team of different people who work at Fat Quarter Shop. And we all, you know, we work as a team to build the books, and they come in different sizes. And those are great. The Fat Quarter Baby has been really popular. And that one I really like because it has 10 girl and 10 boy quilts for only $19.95. So you're paying like $1 a pattern, which you can't really get a better deal than that. And so I really like that, being able to produce something where people get a really good value. And we've got books by Lori Holt, which, I mean, she's so popular right now. Yes. And those have been fun. And we've got lots of authors coming up. You know, we just talked about the new Betsy Chutchen book. We have a new book with Aaliyah Lutz. And so we just love it. It's so fun to work with other people just to see how they do things. And
have you done to be able to... I was going to say, have you done a book with a compilation of different designers, or it's more that's what your ones for the Fat Quarter Shop are?
We might do that in the future, but right now we're just sticking with individual authors and kind of our compilation of our employees.
One of the books that I like was it your first book called Simply Fat Quarters?
Yes, it was my first, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. What is the newest then that's coming out?
The new one that's coming out is called Pretty Playtime, and it's by Aaliyah Lutz, and we're actually doing the photo shoot on Wednesday. And then actually right before that, the Holiday Wishes book by Sherry Falls is coming out, and that we had also her Winter Wonderland book from last year, but this one has done – like, I don't know, it's just going to be an amazing book. We did the photo shoot, and everything just came out so good, and the designs are so good. And, I really, really love it. It's hard for me because we put so much love into them that I just love everything because, you know, we put our heart and soul into it, and we just, I don't know. I think just doing something from start to finish, it just really, it's like your baby.
It is. And you all with your photography are amazing. You have such thought, and you just do such cute things. I mean, I just want to make them because they're laid out. I want the whole room. Just can I order the room from you, Kimberly? Just send.
Yeah. I will say that is the most difficult part of doing a book, is finding a house that you can rent on Airbnb. And that's the hardest part.
I know. So. And it's like the books that you're doing with Lori Holt are quite amazing. So a lot of those are done near her home, or?
Those are actually done in her house. We fly up to Salt Lake City. She lives about 30 minutes from Salt Lake City, and we just spend about a week with her. And it's actually really easy because she styles it all, and she knows exactly how she wants it done. And so we just have to take pictures and leave. And she has to do all the work, but that's how she wants it. So, and it's great. And we've got lots of stuff in the works with her. Everyone's asking what's next, but it's totally top secret, but people are going to love it.
Yeah. She's a busy girl, that Lori. She's always got stuff going on.
I mean, I don't think anybody works more hours than I do. I mean, I think she does. Yeah, sometimes she'll call me, and I'm like, oh, it's 9 o'clock at night. Well, I'm still working. You know, she doesn't stop. She's committed.
Oh, it's very fun to see. I wanted to do one last touch on one last thing, and it's I really appreciate that you are able to be on and talk to me for so long. You've been doing a lot of testing. You know, you show us how not testing, but you show us how to use different tools because you carry mm-hmm. different products. What's one of your tools that you are using right now that you really love?
Most of the time, I just use plain Creative Grids ruler. But we just did one, I'm trying to think of the name of it. We just did one in the Firecrackers video, and that one was really amazing. And we have something super secret coming out soon, so probably in a month, that's going to be amazing and that I think everyone will love. But I really just love Creative Grids rulers, and then I'm not really, I guess this is like kind of a side thing, but mm-hmm. you know, everyone is always asking me at market and stuff, how much fabric do you have? How much fabric do you have? And to be honest, I don't have very much. Mm-hmm. I have like just a ton of thread. So I would say between rulers and threads, we're good. And you're I don't good. Know why. I don't know why I get rid of all my fabric. I think it's just I try to make a quilt out of the fabric one time. I never mm-hmm. save the scraps. I give them to people. So that's kind of an odd answer to your question, but...
So the deep, dark secret is Kimberly does not have a massive stash. It's all at the store. So she can just go over there.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. I just place orders just like everybody else and then just say, bring it to the office.
Well, what a life. What a life. So one last thing is when you go to a quilt show, what are you looking, what attracts you, you know, first? You know, is it like certain types of quilts? Certain types of just like displays?
I'm really looking for something different. You know, you can go to so many booths and they've got the same thing in a different color. And I think, you know, with quilting, it's so hard to come up with something completely unique. And so I love when I go to a booth and they have a quilt block or a quilt, you know, something that's just totally different that doesn't look like anything else. That's really what I'm looking for. Something unique, something different. Because, you know, I've been doing this for 13 years and it seems like a lot of the stuff gets redone over and over. And so when I see something unique, that's always, you know, fun for me. Because I think that's what our customers are looking for too, is something different.
Yeah, we always want to see what's new how to have a twist. Well, Kimberly, thank you so much. I'm going to tell everybody to visit you at fatquartershop.com and sign up for your newsletter.
Yeah, well, thank you, Pat. We appreciate everything that you do for the quilting community.
All right, thank you. I'll see you pretty soon.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You can visit allpeoplequilt.com and sign up for the newsletter online. You can visit me at patsloan.com and sign up for my newsletter. I put in tips. I share where I'm visiting, show you some things from my Facebook group that are going on. There's always some fun chatter and different projects that you might want to be involved with. So, and also, we'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for